in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Father, we acknowledge and welcome your presence. We honor your presence. We reference your presence in our midst. Thank you for the ministry of angels. Thank you for notable transformation. Thank you for a supernatural shift. Thank you for the workings of miracles. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. I say clap your hands, oh ye people. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. Let me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say welcome in God's presence. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Today, we begin a journey as we explore our August Apostolic Teaching Series, A People of Dominion. I'm telling you, this series will bring about a revolution in your life. It will bless you beyond measure. Hallelujah. You see, everything God does, He does by His word, powered by His Spirit. Everything God does, He does by His word, powered by His Spirit. God does nothing without His word. To despise the word of God is to despise the God of the word. The primary way God helps us is by sending us His word. Everything you will ever need, the solution is wrapped up in God's word. All that you will ever need is found, is located in the sent word of God to you. Am I communicating? The word of God is the universal panacea to all problems plaguing humanity. The word of God is God's cure for every of human's problem. Anytime you cry out to God for help, He sends you His word. Hallelujah. In that word is your deliverance. In that word is your healing. In that word is your answer. In that word is your miracle. In that word is your next level. Am I communicating? So you must place high premium on the word of God. You know, I once said something during, I think it was during our 14 days mid-year fasting and prayer, 14 days of glory and fire. I said one of the signs that you are beginning to grow spiritually is that you will start valuing God's word more than money. How many of you remember that statement? It is true and it is very valid. Anytime you are placing more value on other things than God's word, it shows that you are still a child in the things of God. It shows that you are still a babe. But when you start growing spiritually, you will start placing more value on God's word than everything else, than anything else. That was why David could say that I rejoice over your word more than he that has found a great spoil. He said your word, according to David, he says he values God's word more than silver and gold. Silver and gold is money. Am I communicating? So you don't play with any opportunity to receive God's word. You treat it with all seriousness. It's as though you are coming to collect something more than money. Am I communicating? The word of God is more than silver and gold. Remember, God created the heavens and the earth by his word. The earth and its fullness thereof, they are all byproduct of God's word, including the money inside the world, including the silver and the gold. So the creation and the creator, which one is greater? Talk to me. The word of God is the creator. Everything inside the world, including the world itself, they are all creations of the world. So which one is more important? I say, which one is more important? The creator. So it is a spiritual aberration. It is a spiritual anomaly. It is a spiritual abnormality to place more value on what is created than the creator himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. The Word of God is God himself. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. Hallelujah. So, you must place premium attention on God's word. You must value God's word so highly. See, there is no sacrifice that is too much to receive God's word. When you place the appropriate value on God's word, there is no sacrifice. Look. In the natural, do you know there are people that fly from Nigeria to go and watch football in Europe, in UK, in Spain, in Paris? There are people that fly just to go and watch their favorite club, the club they are supporting. They don't care about the cost. That's the value, how much value they place on that particular spot, on the football match, on the Paris Olympic game. That's, they are ready to part with their money in millions. They don't care. Their transportation, feeding, accommodation, all of that, running into millions of naira. They don't care. It's the value they place on just one match that cannot give eternal life. On one Olympic game that cannot give eternal life. But meanwhile, the word of God coming to you today, some of you are treating it so lightly. Am I communicating? Glory to God. I was so touched by the testimonies from the Avalanche of Good News broadcast. And I think it was last week, I heard a testimony of someone, was it from Pangshin, that he said, in order for him to get good network, that he needed to climb, is it a rock? Those Pangshin rock, mountain. He said he needed to go and climb every Friday so as to get good signal, to listen without any interruption to the word of God coming to him on the Avalanche of Good News. Bro, he needed to leave the comfort of his house. He needed to climb mountain to get good signal to hear God's word. That's to tell you the value you place on the word of God is what determines the sacrifice you'll be willing to make to receive that word. Am I communicating? I've heard testimony of people that had to trek whenever they don't have transport. I think a couple of persons in this ministry, anytime they tell me I felt like crying,
that anytime they don't have some student like that, when they don't have transport to come for AGMI service, they will trek long distances, kilometers. Some will even start trekking 2 hours to the service time, so that they will not miss Avalanche of Glory service. That's to tell you the value that they place on it, because they know what they receive. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, learn to value God's word more than everything else, including money. Now, if we were paying everybody $1,000 for this service, for attendance, do you know we'll have overflow? Somebody once said, some people will even come for today's service yesterday. Do you understand? As in, confirm, we are paying $1,000 for attending Avalanche of Glory service. Everybody, $1,000. He said, people will come for this service yesterday. So that if you are even coming today, you will not get space. Maybe the overflow will reach gates. Why? What is on their mind is that $1,000. I'm trying to explain something here. They are thinking of the value they will derive. How much is $1,000? Do the conversion in Naira. 1.6 million. So in their mind, they don't care. If they can't get keke, they will trek. If they don't have transport, they will trek. As they are trekking in their mind, 1.6 million. 1.6 million. They won't come late. They cannot come late. They are thinking, this is the value they are thinking they will get. That monetary value. See, anytime you are coming for AGM, I don't know what goes through your mind. Do you think of the spiritual value you will get from God's word? Do you think of the spiritual value? Am I communicating? What is 1.6 million compared to the spiritual value you get from God's word? Even if it's $1 billion, it is still less than the spiritual value you derive from God's word. The spiritual value that you get from encounters with. See, let me tell you something. Men are made by three things principally. Men are made, number one, through words, the words they hear. Words, both spoken and written. They are behind the making of men. Number two, men are made by the impartations they received. Number three, men are made by the encounters with God they have. And the good news is that you receive all the three in Avalanche of Glory services. I say you receive all the three. These are the three things behind the making of generals, behind the making of great men in the kingdom, behind the making of kingdom giants. The words that they receive, the word of God that came to them, the teaching, the preaching, the messages, the books they read, the information that was made available to them. Words. Number two, impartations. Men are made by the impartations they receive. Am I communicating? Then number three, encounters. Because these are the three primary channels by which grace is communicated. And that grace is what makes men great. Through the words that come to you. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Am I communicating? So place high premium on words. Am I communicating? Place high premium on words. I say place high premium on words. It matters how you treat the words that are coming to you, whether through preaching or teaching or through prophetic decrees and declaration. It matters. Kalido barakatai. Men are made by words, the word of God, messages, the things, the information, the words they receive, the books they read. the knowledge that they assess, words, spoken or written. Men are made through impartations. Ayagabarakatai. Impartations. Grace is communicated. Giftings. Tangible impartations of the Spirit. There are certain things that cannot be taught. You only catch them. They are caught through impartation. There are graces that are caught through impartation. Number three, men are made through encounters. Encounters with the Holy Ghost. Encounters with the Word of God. Encounters through the Word and Spirit of God. Tangible encounters. Am I communicating? Encounters that are life transforming and destiny defining. And like I said, the good news is that you are receiving all the three. I say you are receiving all the three. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, a people of dominion. The church is not a weakling. Far from it. The end time church of Christ is a mighty army, a strong army, a powerful army, an army of saviors, saviors sent from Zion on a kingdom takeover operation, on a kingdom rescue mission, on a kingdom assignment in the earth realm. The church of Jesus Christ is a formidable force, is a fiery army, an unstoppable force, a mighty invading army of kingdom militants on a kingdom mission. Am I communicating? On a kingdom advancement assignment, on a kingdom establishment mission in the earth realm. So you need to think beyond survival. You are not like the people of the world. Let me tell you, neighbor, you are not of this world. Jesus told us when he was praying for the church in John 17, he told us twice that we are not of this world. I say we are not of this world. We don't take our origin from this world. The day you got born again, your origin changed. Your genealogy changed. Your lineage changed. The day you got born again, you became a bona fide citizen of heaven. In fact, the word born again literally means born from above. So from that day henceforth, heaven becomes your land of nativity. Heaven becomes your homeland. Am I communicating? From that day henceforth, you became a citizen of Zion. A citizen of Zion. A beneficiary of the commonwealth of Zion. Am I communicating? Kito barakataya. And every Zionite is a savior. In Obadiah 21, he says, and saviors shall arise from where? Zion. And they shall judge the mount of Esau. And the resultant effect of that is that the kingdom shall become the Lord's. So we are here to take over the mountains of Esau. Am I communicating? To dominate those mountains for our Lord and Master. It says saviors in plural. Now, it didn't say the savior. It says saviors in plural, not singular. If it had said the savior, the Messiah, it would have been talking about Jesus. Am I communicating? So this is not a prophecy about the Messiah called Jesus. Rather, it's talking about those that will be bettered by the Messiah. Am I communicating? Now, Jesus came and fulfilled his messianic mission. And the Bible says, as a result, he made it possible to bring many sons to glory. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Savior, after completing his assignment, he has now bettered many saviors. Am I communicating? Remember on the cross, just to confirm that Jesus had died, one of the soldiers pierced his side. And what came out? Blood and what? Blood and... When a woman is in labor and then she gives birth, what comes out? Blood and water. So Jesus on the cross was in labor. Ayagabarakatai. Are you getting this thing? He said, as soon as Zion travailed, she gave birth to her children. That was when Jesus birthed the church. And the church is an army of saviors. And you are one of them. You are one of them. He says, saviors. Saviors are deliverers. They are rescuers. We are on a rescue mission. We are on a deliverance mission. We are here to rescue the world from death and destruction, from the effect and the devastation and terrorist government of Satan, the one heading the kingdom of darkness. Am I communicating? He says, saviors shall come upon Mount Zion. Mount Zion is prophetic of the church. And they shall judge the Mount of Esau. The Mount of Esau represents the mountains of this world, the mountains of influence, the systems of this world. Am I communicating? And the result of that is that the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Glory to God. The end time church in prophecy is ordained to walk in dominion in every sphere of life and in every field of human endeavor. Give me Isaiah chapter 2 from verse 1. The end time church in prophecy, Isaiah saw it, he prophesied it. Micah saw it, he prophesied it. These were prophets in the Old Testament. They saw in a vision, they saw the picture of the end time church. They saw God's will, God's plan, God's purposes for the end time church. And then look at what Isaiah said. He said, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning what? Judah and Jerusalem. So he saw the word of God in a vision. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days. And which days are we? Let me preach it to a neighbor. Which day are we? Which days are we now? We are in the last days. So he's talking of our day and our age. This prophecy is about the end time church. He says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, the mountain of the Lord's house, shall be established where? Huh? Shall be established where? Shall be established where? Say it well now. Shall be established well. Let's say this is a mountain of politics and governance. This is a mountain of media. This is a mountain of education. This is a mountain of business or finance mountain. Economy. The mountain of economy or business. This is a mountain of family. Mountain of what? Entertainment, right? Celebration. Which one have I not mentioned? Religion. Mountain of religion. He said, it shall come to pass that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established where? Help me. Shout it. Shout it. No, you are not shouting. No. I say shout it on top of your voice. He didn't say it shall be established by the side of other mountains. Did you see that? He didn't say it shall be established below. It only has one location in prophecy. Where? The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. The mountain of the Lord's house is talking of the end time church. Mountain of the Lord's house. Ah, yeah. Anything less than this is not acceptable. I say anything less than this is not acceptable. There is only one place ordained for you. On top, above only. Let me tell your neighbor, above only. Above only. In every field, refuse to settle for less. There is prophecy over me. Have you? There is a prophecy over you. Look at it. Isaiah said it. He prophesied it. We will soon see Micah. Micah corroborated the prophecy. Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every truth is established, right? Isaiah saw it. Micah chapter 4 from verse 1. Micah saw it. He also prophesied it. That the topmost top is your place. Let me tell you, neighbor, the topmost top is your place in every field. Refuse to settle for less. In every field, we have the best and the rest. Two classes. The best and what? The rest. According to prophecy, which class do you belong? Somebody say the best. Because we are a people of dominion. The end time church is an army of people that are anointed and ordained and commissioned to walk in all-round dominion. Am I communicating? We are a people of dominion. We are not slaves. We are not victims. I say we are not slaves. We are not fearful slaves. We are not victims. We are not survivors. We are not survivors. We are saviors from Zion. We are not slaves. We are not victims. We are not victims of circumstances. We are victors over circumstances. We are more than conquerors. Am I communicating? Prophet Micah saw the same thing. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established only in one location, in the top of the mountains. Somebody say in the top. Say the top is where I belong. The topmost top is my place, is my inheritance, is where I belong. It says shall be established in the top of the mountains. So it shall be established in the top, in the realm of politics, in the top, in the realm of media, in the top, in the realm of economy. Am I communicating? In every area, everywhere. I say everywhere, top. Everywhere, top. Because we are a people of dominion. We know they carry last. I say we know they carry last. You know, in the pigeon parlance, you hear all these comedians say, "Worry no, they carry last. The kwata kwata na draw." But we know they carry last. Kwata kwata na top, na top, 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 top. On top. Am I communicating? In the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills. And people shall what? Flow. Somebody say flow. People shall flow unto it. Yeah. In other words, the end time church is a people influencer. Hi. It is ordained to have so much people influence that there will be a massive influx into the kingdom. So we are ordained to have the power of influence. Say with me, I have the power of influence. I have the power of influence. Yes, the end time church, every believer is given the power of influence. We are people influencers. Because of you, people will troop into the kingdom. Am I communicating? Because of you, people will start serving God. You know, it was Zechariah that said, it shall come to pass in the last days that 10 men shall hold the skirt of him that is a Jew. And they will say, we have heard that God is with you. We can see what God is doing in your life. We will follow you and serve your God. I prophesy to somebody, very soon people will follow you to serve your God. Even those mocking you that you are carrying this Christianity too much, you are carrying church too much, spending too much time in church, very soon, because of what they will see God doing in your life, they will follow you to serve your God. Your result will evangelize them. Your result will be evangelistic in effect. It will pull multitude into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. The end time church is a church of many people. Verse 2. Kapate kebras kapata. He said, and many nations shall come. Not just people, many nations shall come. Yoruba nations will come. Igbo nation will come. Hausa nation will come. Fulani nation will come. Chinese nation will come. Indian nation will come. He says, many nations shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. People will be coming to the house of God to learn his ways. It has been prophesied. Isaiah prophesied it. Micah prophesied it. It is already an established truth. They will come and learn of God's way on how to make clean money. Not Yahoo Yahoo. Not ritual. Not fraud. Not corruption. They will come to learn of his ways. They will come to learn kingdom principles. They will come to learn kingdom values. They will come to learn leadership. Listen, God have ordained that the church is a pillar and ground of truth. In other words, the people of the world should be coming to learn from us. The church is the light of the world. We take the lead, the world follow. They should come and learn politics and governance from us. They should come and learn how to raise godly families, how to raise successful families. They should come and learn marriage from us, not reality TV show. They should come and learn relationship from us, not is it Kardashian or what? Bibi Naija. They should come and learn these things from us. Because listen, already so many are being misled, including Christians, by all this guy Big Brother Naija reality show, all manner of yeye reality show that don't promote kingdom values. But look at what God have ordained. That they will come, many nations, many people, they will come to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. That's why the teaching ministry is so important. It's very important. Because we have an assignment to indoctrinate people through the teaching of God's word. We are to indoctrinate them with kingdom values. They are to acquire kingdom ideologies, kingdom mindset, kingdom philosophy. Am I communicating? Potaka barakatai. They should come and learn from us. Whether it is education, whether it is, you know, Harvard University. How many of you know Harvard? Are you aware Harvard started as a Bible school? Oh yes, go and study the history of Harvard. It started as a Bible school. All this Oxford, all of them, they have Christian foundation. You remember John Wesley and his brother Charles Wesley? They were holding Holy Club. It was in Oxford University. Palakus Ketila Branda Kappa. If you study church history, the Industrial Revolution that shaped, forever shaped and changed Europe was rooted in the gospel revolution. It was that gospel revolution, those revivals that broke out in Europe, in America, those revivals catalyzed by the prayers of those generals we talk about, am I communicating, in church history, that led to the preaching of the gospel and all of that. That was what set the pace for the industrial revolution. The outpouring of the Spirit did not just bring about salvation of souls and healings and miracles and signs and wonders. There was another dimension. It brought about societal change. It brought about, the revival led to what we call a revolution, a reformation. It brought about reformation in every area of society, whether it is political or economical or in families. It brought about reformation. How many of you have heard of William Wilberforce? He was a parliamentarian in the UK. He was not a pastor. His calling was to leadership. So he was in politics, he was in the parliament, and this William Wilberforce was a disciple of John Wesley, and he was the one that God used to move the notion for the abolition of slave trade, when slave trade was a thriving business in the Western world. How many of you have heard of the slave trade? A lot of people, wealthy men and women, they were into slave trade. They would come and carry slaves from Africa, West Africa, carry it to their farms in Europe. Those their plantation, cotton plantation and all of that. It was a thriving business until God used men like William Wilberforce, who got up in the parliament and started championing the cause of the kingdom. He said, no, these people, though they have different color from us, but they are human beings like us, that this thing is not right. He started fighting. Other people joined him. And long story cut short, they soon passed a bill into law that banned and abolished slave trade. And what brought about that political reform? Because a kingdom man was there in the mountain of what? Politics and governance. How much more today? We need many of such men. Was it not Daniel and Joseph that God used in the mountain of politics and governance to bring about transformation and to preserve the world and to promote kingdom values and culture and ideology and kingdom value system? Glory to God. I say glory to God. Anywhere the gospel goes, it brings about development. Just like in the natural, when you bring light, you electrify a village. What happens to the village in the natural? Development, through of us. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the light of the gospel, as it is in the physical, so is it in the realm of the spirit. Just like in the physical, light brings about illumination, brings about direction, it solves so many problems, solution and all of that, and civilization, development. So it is in the realm of the spirit. Anytime you bring the light of the gospel to a territory, to a system, what happens is that the civilization of the kingdom will come to bear in that territory. Am I communicating? Kingdom civilization will enter. Kingdom development. That light of the gospel will bring about civilization and then development. The people will become civilized. Now, the civilization here is not worldly civilization. Rather, it is kingdom civilization. They will become civilized. They will become enlightened, illuminated, educated in the things of the kingdom. They will acquire kingdom ideology, kingdom mindset, kingdom philosophy, kingdom value system that will start changing their lives, including their morals. Am I communicating? And then before you know, there is development. And before you know, there is what we call a change in their culture, from worldly culture to kingdom culture. You know, we have a culture in the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a culture. I say every kingdom has a culture. So we are on a mission to colonize our cosmos and ethnos with the life of God, with the life of the kingdom, with the civilization of the kingdom, and with the culture. What is culture how do you define culture? The way of life or lifestyle of a people. Glory to God. People dress according to their culture, right? People eat according to their culture. People walk according to their culture. Glory to God. Even farming, people farm according to their culture. Have you seen a thief man made a yam farm before? Is it the same way as an Iri? Is it what's the tribe? What's your tribe, sir? Jukum. Is it the same way as a Jukum man? They do it according to their culture. It's the same thing. In our kingdom, we have our own way of doing things. I say we have our own way of doing things. It's just like the people of the world, according to their culture, that is being perpetuated by movies and all of that, there is nothing wrong with them. There is nothing wrong with them having a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and then they will be having sex together. And then when they get tired of the relationship, they break up. And then they continue with another one. And then that one will now become an ex. Then they'll be doing their thing again. They'll be having sex, you know, all of that. The lady will be billing the guy. The guy will be getting sex in return. And then when they tire, they break up again. It becomes the second ex. So you see somebody having three exes. Another person having four exes. Another one have 12 exes. You know, that's their own way. That's the way they do things. But by the time we colonize them with our own kingdom culture, kingdom value system, ideology and philosophy, they not be so with the due relationship in our kingdom. Now that you are born again, you belong to a different kingdom. We don't do things that way here. I say we know they do things that way here. We know they do premature sex. Premarital sex. It's not mature. Thank you. You understand? You only practice sex after you are licensed. That's when you are married. You are given the license to go and practice. Just like it is dangerous for a medical student to practice medicine before they gave you license to practice. You can be arrested, you can be jailed. Just imagine you are still a medical student, or you just graduated, but they've not given you license, and then you've gone to open your hospital and you are practicing without license. You can be jailed. It's a criminal offense. Tell your neighbor, don't practice sex until you are licensed. Because you belong to a different kingdom now. The value system is different. So you see the people of the world watch reality TV shows like Big Brother Nanja. Very stupid shows that don't promote, they promote antichrist values, satanic values. Tell me, what is there any positive kingdom value that is being promoted by such shows? No. So I wonder why Christians watch it. The things they promote, lust, sexual lust, sexual immorality, all manner of things. If I hear there was one that even a married woman came. She was one of the inmates. All manner of rubbish. And then you say you are battling spirit of lust. You got it from there. Yes. Because whatever you keep, what? Seeing and hearing, it will enter your heart. So those demons of lust, you are the one that is giving them entrance into your life by what you are seeing and what you are hearing. If you can guard your heart, that's why the Bible says, guard your heart, mount guard. It's not everything you watch, it's not everything you see, it's not everything you hear, it's not every kind of movie that is good for you. You see, even all these worldly movies, they are promoting worldly values. We need to produce kingdom movies. Am I communicating? This is very important. That's why I say renew your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So every single day of your life, you are either conforming or you are becoming transformed. So the choice is up to you every single day. See, there is no neutral ground. If you fail to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that means unconsciously you will be conforming to this world system. Because the volume of information they are pumping into you every day, it will make you conform. Through media, through everywhere you turn in society and all of that, the world is trying to squeeze you into their mold. They are bombarding things. You keep seeing them, you keep hearing them, and you think you will not conform. You will end up conforming. So the only way to avoid conformity is to what? Consciously renew your mind with the word of God. Study and meditate on God's word every day. Listen to God's word every day. Meditate on the word. Pray the word. Listen to messages. We say join Telegram channel. You say no. Now Big Brother Nanja, you dey watch. And you wonder why you are battling lust. Praise God. Stop wasting your life, watching yeye shows. I say yeye shows. And it's big time business for them. They don't care the impact. They don't care the moral fiber of society that is being destroyed by such kind of shows. They don't care the negative impact it's having on youths, on society, on families. They don't care. They don't care. They are making serious money. They say they are giving the winner. They say to how many million dollars? I've been at $1 billion. They say they have upgraded it. For them to give winner $1 billion, do you know how much they have made? Do you know how much? It's just like this sport bet, Nanja bet, Naira bet. Before they give you, that is if you are playing, and if you used to play, stop. That's not the way to make money in the kingdom. That's why you should be coming to the house of God. He shall teach us his ways. Come and learn how to make money kingdom way. It's not by playing Nanja bet, Naira bet. Which of the billionaires made their money that way? Show me any. Those that have been winning millions in Big Brother Nanja, how many of them are still rich today? Wake up. I say wake up. Before they give you 1 billion naira, they must have made 100 billion. Because they are business people. I was reading something about the sponsorship, and I was surprised that for you to be a headline sponsor of Big Brother Nanja, you will pay them $4 million. $4 million is how many billion? And these people have so many sponsors. So many people that put their money because of their viewership. Hundreds of millions of viewership are in Africa and beyond. It's being watched by people not just in Nigeria, Africa and the world. Over 300 million viewership. So it's a very big market, true of us. So companies and businesses, they do everything to pay for the sponsorship so that they will put their advert in such kind of shows. Can you see the kind of money they are making? And you are now sitting down. You are wasting your time, wasting your life, inviting demons that did not call for you. You are inviting them into your life. By sitting down to watch. And the producers of the show, they said it's being produced by Red Pepper Pictures, a South African company. Did you even hear the name Red Pepper? You think it will do anything better in your life? Something be a show being produced by Red Pepper Pictures, South African company. And then MultiChoice, the owners of DSTV and GoTV, they are also partners in the whole thing. You understand? Wasting your life, wasting your time. The one that we say you should listen to that will help your life, you say no. Maturity is when you learn to discipline yourself to make the right choices in life. The mind is like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. You cannot expect to think the right thought and act the right way when you are feeding your mind with the wrong stuff. It doesn't work that way. I say it doesn't work that way. Praise God. Genesis 1:26. We are taking over. I say we are taking. We will soon produce our own show. Instead of Big Brother Naija, we will call it Big Brain Naija. Big, give me another name. Because sometimes, if it's not sometimes, it's not enough to tell them not to watch Big Brother Naija. You must produce a godly alternative. Yes, we must produce a better alternative that will promote kingdom values. Give me example now. I just give you why I say Big Brain Naija. Where we can promote talent and all of that, innovation, creativity and all of that. Give me another example now. Big what? Witty Invention Naija. Glory to God. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then verse 26. And God blessed them, and God said. God blessed them, and God said. The blessing is released through words. The blessing is released through words. Words are the containers, the carriers, the conveyors and communicators of the blessing. Words are very, very important. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Is it that word subdue? The Hebrew word is kabash. Is a military word. It's a military terminology. Kabash. And have dominion. Dominion there, radar. The Hebrew word is radar. It's also a military terminology. So both that word subdue and have dominion, they are both military terms. Am I communicating? They are military terminologies. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. Glory to God. Now, my emphasis is have dominion. That word dominion is from the Hebrew word radar. And the Hebrew word radar means the following. If you are writing right, it means the following. Number one, it means authority. So when you say have dominion, you can also say have authority over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Have authority over the earth realm. That word radar also means government, okay? Government. The word also means government. That's to govern the earth realm.
To dominate the earth realm means to govern the earth realm. Adam was the first governor God appointed over the earth before he committed high treason and he lost it to Lucifer. He lost it to Satan. Glory to God. So the word radar means authority, it means government, it also means controlling influence. Somebody say controlling influence. It means controlling influence. Control the earth, influence the earth. Radar also means rulership. Rulership. Have dominion means rule over the earth. It means lordship. 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 It means supremacy. Have dominion. Can also means have supremacy. Have dominion also means be masters over life. To dominate also means to be masters over life, masters over the earth realm. Colonial masters. How many of you remember colonial masters? We are the one colonizing the cosmos and the ethnos with the life, culture, and civilization of our heavenly kingdom. So, that word dominion means mastery. Okay? Then next, it means to be in charge. To be in charge. When God told them, have dominion, he said, be in charge of the earth. As in, God is saying, me, I'm in charge in heaven. You, be in charge on earth. So it was division of labor. God created heaven and what? Earth. And then him is a king over in heaven. God is the king of kings. You can't have two kings in the same kingdom, right? So God is ruling in heaven. He's reigning in heaven. He's in charge there. He now created his man. And then he said, you be in charge in the earth realm. Tell your neighbor, be in charge. God wants you to be in charge in your field, in your sphere of influence, in your world. You know, when God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You have your own world in the context of the world. Do you understand what I just said? Your own world makes up all the people in your sphere of influence. They are not exactly as my own world. See, the people in my sphere of influence, they are not exactly the same as the people in your sphere of influence. So, out of that, go into all the world. You have your own world. I have my own world. You have your own world. So Jesus is saying, go into your sphere of influence, preach the gospel, dominate your sphere of influence, indoctrinate them. Am I communicating? With the life, culture, and civilization of the kingdom. Advance the kingdom in your world. Establish the kingdom in your world through the gospel. Am I communicating? Next, radar. I said it means to be in charge, as in to take charge. I said take charge. I said take charge. It also means to tread down. To tread down, to subjugate, to subjugate. It also means to crumble off. Remember, God told them to have dominion when Satan was already on earth. Are you aware at this point? Go back to that Genesis 1:28. At this point, Satan was already on earth. How many of you know that? Satan was on earth. Yet God say have dominion. That's in spite of Satan's presence. He say have dominion. As in the midst of your enemy, you should rule and reign. Have dominion. Glory to God. Next, it means
to prevail against. That word have dominion means to prevail against. To prevail against barriers, prevail against restrictions and resistance, prevail against oppositions, prevail against obstacles, prevail against limitations. Glory to God. Then the last one, the word have dominion also means to reign in life. To reign as a king. We are kinging over life. Is there any English like that? To reign as a king. It means to reign as a king. We are reigning kings, so. I say we are reigning kings over our sphere of influence. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We are not slaves. Give me Romans 5:17. We are reigning kings. Give me in the amplified version. Romans 5:17. Amplified. Kobaran so frete. It says, for if because of one man's trespass, that's Adam the first, one man's lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more, tell your neighbor, much more, surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, he's talking about the new creation in Christ. He said, they which receive, those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor in bracket, and the free gift of righteousness, and then he said, putting them into right standing with himself in parentheses, he says, reign as kings. Look at another meaning of that word, have dominion. It means to reign as kings in life. The location of your reigning is in this earth too. You are not going to reign in heaven. I hope you know that. I hope you know there is no reigning for you in heaven. You cannot reign in heaven for obvious reasons. Papa God, that is his territory. God is king in heaven. You can't have two kings in the same domain. Two kings cannot be reigning in the same territory. You can only reign on earth. Before the reign of the Antichrist, we go reign. And after the reign of the Antichrist, we go still reign. Some of you are just looking at me. All these things are in the Bible. You don't know. The Bible says we will reign. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth after the great white throne judgment. It says this, the former earth shall be destroyed. Peter, Apostle Peter said, it shall be destroyed by fire. The element will melt. Then Apostle John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming out of the throne of God. So there is going to be a new earth. And we shall still reign there. So we will reign now, we will reign later. We will reign before the Antichrist reign. And the Antichrist reign is only for 3.5 years. Our own is only for 3.5 years. Am I communicating? Then after the Antichrist has been thrown into lake of fire, we will still reign again in the new earth. This time around, the duration is for what? Forever and ever and ever. We will reign with Christ. Glory to God. You know what you are supposed to play for me? Play my songs, you know them. It says, reign as kings in life through one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Say, I am reigning through Jesus Christ in this life, here and now. I receive overflowing grace to reign in this life, to rule in this life through Jesus Christ. Come on, shout glory! Now take note of the fact that a kingdom is a domain. A kingdom is a domain, in bracket, a territory,
a sphere or a realm. A kingdom is a domain, and I say put in bracket, territory, comma, sphere, comma, realm, subject, you can close the bracket after realm. A kingdom is a domain, in bracket, territory, sphere, or realm, in close bracket, subject to a king's rule or reign. That is, a kingdom is a domain or territory or sphere or realm subject to a king's rule or reign. That means a kingdom is a domain under the governing influence of a king. A kingdom is a territory, a sphere or realm under the governmental authority or jurisdiction of a king. It's under the governmental authority of a king, that territory, that sphere, that domain, that realm is under the jurisdiction of a king. For instance, the kingdom of God is under the influence, the governmental influence, the controlling influence, the governmental authority, the jurisdiction of God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to God. Now, there is a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The two are related, they are not exactly the same. Listen, the kingdom of heaven is a subset of the larger kingdom of God. Okay? The kingdom of heaven, you will see Matthew that wrote the book of Matthew, he used that expression, the kingdom of heaven, a lot. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. You see that expression, kingdom of heaven, in the book of Matthew. Is there a difference? Yes, that's what I'm explaining. The kingdom of heaven is a subset of the larger kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of heaven refers to that part of God's kingdom that is headed by Jesus Christ, and it is established in the earth realm. The kingdom of heaven refers to that part of God's kingdom that is headed by Jesus Christ, and it is established in the earth realm. So when we talk about kingdom advancement on earth, our assignment is to establish the kingdom of heaven first in the heart of men. How? Through soul winning. When you get a soul born again, you have established the kingdom of heaven in his heart. Jesus is now sitting as Lord in the throne of his heart. Am I communicating? You have established the kingdom of God, in particular the kingdom of heaven, through Jesus Christ in the heart of that person that is saved. So the number one place God wants his kingdom to be established in the earth realm is in the hearts of men, when through their hearing the gospel, first of all, the gospel is being preached to them, and then they hear the gospel, and then they believe the gospel, and then they confess the lordship of Jesus, and then they receive eternal life, they get born again. Now they are now citizens, bona fide citizens of God's kingdom, and then the kingdom of God is established in their heart, specifically the kingdom of heaven. So God wants his kingdom to be established in the earth realm, what we call the kingdom of heaven, and it is headed by Jesus. He wants it established first in the hearts of men, and then over territories. He wants his kingdom established over territories, over cities, over communities, villages. One of the testimony somebody said is waiting for me to come and preach. One of our listeners, audience. You know, we have online audience. Eh? Some of you, we are preaching to you. You are doing all shakara. We'll continue with online audience. People that value it more. Praise God. One of them says he's waiting for me to come to their village to preach the gospel. When the Lord sends us, we will go. Whether it is city or village. You know, there are people that the only call they hear is they want to go to America. When God says go to one village somewhere, it's missed call. Hey, Baba, I never hear. I didn't hear that one. Praise God. So, we anywhere God tells us to go, we'll go. Jesus did not only preach in the cities. He also went to the villages. Is it not in your Bible? Bible says Jesus went to the villages and in the cities and the towns preaching the gospel. Because everybody needs to hear the gospel. The value of a soul, whether it's in the village or in America or in Canada or in Langtang village or in Pangshin village, you know, the value of soul is the same. I said the value of soul is the same. If souls start going to the moon, we'll go and preach the gospel there. If they decide to relocate to planet Mars, we'll organize crusade in planet Mars. Anywhere we see souls, we'll win them. Tell your neighbor, anywhere you see souls, preach the gospel, win them. Praise God. Anywhere we see them, and the Lord sends us there, we'll go. Glory to God. People are hungry for God's word. You know, when Pastor Lenku was taking the testimony, it just dawns on me how hungry people are to receive the word of God, the right gospel. You know, people have been hearing the gospel, but there's what we call the right gospel. Oh, okay, you understand later. Praise God. The real gospel that transforms people. The one that grows people, that nourishes them, is what they are looking for. Am I communicating? Not human ideology, not human philosophy. You know? Just because somebody is opening Bible does not mean they are preaching the gospel. Hope you know. Okay. So God wants his kingdom first established in the hearts of men, then over territories, and then across all spheres of influence. All spheres of influence. God wants the gospel, the kingdom of God. He wants the kingdom of God established across all spheres of influence, across every aspect of the society, every area of human endeavor. He wants the kingdom of heaven to be established there. If you are in the medical profession, God wants the kingdom to be established through you in the medical profession. So through the gospel, you establish the kingdom there. If you are an engineer, if you are a media person, you are in politics and governance, you are a businessman, you are a family person, you are into music, movies, entertainment, sport, God wants his kingdom established in every sphere, in every aspect, in all the systems of this world. Am I communicating? In every area. Through you. Tell your neighbor, through you. I'm seeing we have wonderful people. I'm seeing our pharmacist Polit celebrating. He just finished his NYSE. How is it Osun State? He serves in Osun State. I'm sure you understand Yoruba now. Maybe by the time we are doing crusade in Yoruba land, maybe God sends us to one of their villages, will interpret for us. Glory to God. Celebrate him. You are welcome, mighty man. Praise God. I say praise God. as ambassadors of Christ, we are here on earth for a very serious kingdom advancement and establishment mission. We are here on a mission. Very serious business. What is that business? Somebody say kingdom business. We are not here for picnic. We are not here just to catch fun and catch cruise. We are here on a mission. It's a kingdom advancement mission. It's a kingdom establishment assignment. We are here for a serious kingdom takeover campaign. It's a rescue mission. Humanity is drowning in a sea of destruction. God has sent us with the life-saving message of the gospel. God has sent us with the life-saving message, with a life-saving gospel, to save the world from the terrorist government of Satan. Praise God. I say praise God. Write this down. Important basis for our life of dominion in Christ. What are the important basis for our life of dominion in Christ? Number one, the blessing of the Lord imparted upon mankind at creation. In Genesis 1, 26 and 28, after God created man, male and female, in his image and likeness, the Bible says in verse 28, God blessed them. Genesis 1, 28. The first basis for our life of dominion is the blessing. The blessing of the Lord that was released upon man at creation. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue, and have dominion. In other words, the blessing of the Lord imparted upon man at creation is a divine empowerment for all-round dominion. The blessing empowers you to live a life of dominion. He blessed them and said, have dominion. In other words, the blessing confers dominion. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Because you carry the blessing, you are ordained to dominate in your field. You are ordained to walk in dominion in every area of your life. The blessing establishes you on top. Am I communicating? The blessing puts you in one location, above only. Okay, let me show you. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Look at what it says. Above only. Tell your neighbor, above only. The blessing locates you only in one place. Above only. Above only. The blessing confers dominion. Dominion. In every area of your life. It is a power, an authority to dominate your world, dominate in your field. Glory to God. I said Deuteronomy 28, right? Okay, give me verse 13. Okay, start from verse 1 so that you will get it in context. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all the commandments which I commanded this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high. He will set you where? On high. Above all. Tell your neighbor, above all. The nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Say amen. Amen. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Say amen. Amen. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Say amen. Amen. So your children are blessed. They are not cursed. And the fruit of thy ground is blessed. The fruit of thy cattle. Your business is blessed. The work of your hands are blessed. Okay, jump to verse 13. This is where I'm going. And the Lord shall make thee the head. So the blessing makes you the head and not the tail. The blessing makes you a success, a celebrated success on a global scale. The blessing empowers you to be great. The blessing makes great. It makes for greatness. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only. I said, thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt be above only. In your school, above only. In your department, above only. In your academics, above only. In business, above only. In your field, above only. In your career, above only. In your finances, above only. Kalabashataya. Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt not be beneath. The blessing forbids you being under. The blessing forbids failure. Smallness. It forbids it. He said, a little one shall become a thousand. A small one, a strong nation. Why? Because of the power of the blessing that brings about supernatural fruitfulness, multiplication, increase, and empowers you for dominion. Hallelujah. So the blessing is a divine empowerment for all-round dominion. The blessing divinely energizes you and enables you to live a life of dominion here and now. Listen, the blessing will give you honor. It will give you wisdom. The blessing will give you power. It's an empowerment, a divine empowerment. The blessing will give you divine favor. The blessing will make you rich. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it is that maketh rich, and he added no sorrow. Deuteronomy 8:18, for thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So the blessing gives you honor, gives you power, gives you wisdom, gives you favor, gives you riches. And all these I just mentioned, they enable you to walk in dominion. They enable you to walk in dominion. What is the second basis for our life of dominion in Christ? Number two, the Abrahamic covenant. Give me Genesis 17 verse 6. The Abrahamic covenant empowers the every seed of Abraham to walk in dominion in every area of life. The Abrahamic covenant empowers every seed of Abraham to walk in dominion in every area of life, in every sphere of influence. Watch this. And God said, let... I say Genesis 17 verse 6. Glory to God. And you know, you are both the result and the beneficiary of that Abrahamic covenant. It says, Genesis 17:6, God said, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. Ah, you are not just an individual. You are a nation. Yea, you are bigger than a nation. Covenant people are not small people. I say, covenant people are not small. There is nothing small about you. Stop judging yourself based on this, your optical eyes. There is more to you than meet the eyes. Tell your neighbor, there is more to you than meet the eyes. There is a you that is in you that the world has not yet known, that will soon emerge and surprise and shock the whole world. If you believe that, shout amen. You know, Smith Wigglesworth understood this. He said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. So people that think they know you, they don't really know you. I was talking to my wife recently. I say, people don't know us yet. They will soon find out about us. You know,
to people, you are the summary of what they know about you in the past plus what they are seeing right now in the present. That is how people judge you. That is how people rate you. As far as they are concerned, what they are seeing in the present plus the past, but they don't know your future. They don't know who you are. So refuse to be defined by people's opinion of you. It's only the person that made you that has the right to define you and decide your future. You don't allow human beings write you off. You know human beings can write you off. Don't give anybody the right to look at you and conclude that this is how you will end or this is how you will remain. They don't have that power. I say they don't have that power. Don't be defined by people's opinion of you. Don't be defined by your past. Don't be defined even by your present. You are a divine project in progress. Tell your neighbor, you are a divine project in progress. And guess who is working on that project called you? God. God is the one that is working on this project called you. And imagine who you will look like when he is done. Imagine how the completed project will look like. If the uncompleted project is even looking this glorious, just look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor, how wonderful they are looking. If this is the uncompleted project, imagine how you will look like by the time God is done with you. This is not how you will end. You are going to be 100 times better than this. Glory to God. There are some people looking for transport today. Tomorrow you'll be flying your private jet. You'll be jetting to Chicago, jetting to Hong Kong to go and preach the gospel. Am I communicating? This is not how you will end. This is a message for somebody. And it doesn't matter what you are going through right now. It will not end up this bad. It will end up in praise. I say it will end up in praise. There is no small seed of Abraham. And you are the seed of Abraham. Because he says that seed is Christ. And Christ has a head called Jesus. Christ has a body called the church. And the church is talking of believers. So you are the seed of Abraham. And every seed of Abraham is ordained to walk in dominion. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Look at that last part. That's where I'm going. And kings. Not slaves. And kings. Not slaves. Not victims. Not servants. Kings shall what? Come out of thee. Who is a king? A king is a lord of a land. A king is one who has dominion over a territory. A king is one who rules and reigns in dominion over a territory, a sphere, over his domain. And God said the people that will come out of Abraham are kings, not ordinary people. Tell your neighbor, you are not ordinary. You are a king because you are the seed of Abraham. God promised Abraham that kings shall come out of him. And you are that seed. Then give me Genesis 22:17. You will see another interesting thing there. See, talking about the Abrahamic covenant, the second basis of our life of dominion. God said that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. Kai. So every seed of Abraham is a star. Stop struggling to be a star. Aye! You didn't hear me. See. We have been deceived by media to believe that all those Hollywood actors, non-Hollywood actors, all those so-called secular celebrities, we have been deceived to believe that they are stars. They are the stars. So you even see believers envying them.
You hear believers, Christians, oh, eh? They want to be like those stars. You are not reading your Bible. Or maybe you are reading it upside down. Look at what the Bible says. It said the seed of Abraham are the real stars. I say we are the real stars. I say we are the real stars. You didn't hear me. You are the real star. The real stars are not those ones being projected by media. How can somebody that is not, doesn't have eternal life, be claiming that he or she is a star, and then the whole world believed them and media promoted them, and they became maybe popularity, fame and all of that? Meanwhile, the one that according to God's word is called a star has not come to the revelation. That truth has not yet dawned on him or her. See, the day the truth of scripture dawns on you, you will wake up. I say you wake up from your slumber. I say you wake up from your slumber. God promised Abraham that his seed will be as the stars of heaven. So every seed of Abraham is a star. It's a superstar. Every seed of Abraham is a shining star. So as a shining star, shine in your field. I said to you, arise and shine. As the seed of Abraham, arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Shine in your field. We are the one that have stardom. We are kingdom shining superstar. I say we are what? Kingdom shining superstar. Whether people believe or not, that's their problem. You believe it. You know, that's the problem with us. We want people to first believe before we believe. It doesn't work that way. Believe it first. Let it enter your spirit all by yourself, so that the unbelief and doubt of others cannot affect your faith. The problem is when you've not yet believed it. You are now waiting for people to believe it and validate it. Were they the one that said it? God said it. God said it. I believe it. Glory to God. He said his seed shall be multiplied, thy seed, as the stars of heaven and as sand which is upon the seashore. You know, you can't count the sea, the sand by the seashore. You can't count. Innumerable. And thy seed shall possess. Look at that last part. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That's talking of dominion. Possessing the seed of Abraham, possessing the gate of his enemies, is talking of dominion. In other words, they will dominate enemy territory. Kolabakasaya. Every seed of Abraham is empowered to possess the gate of his enemies. In other words, to dominate. Give me Psalm 110 verse 3. It says, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast a dew of thy youth. Go back. Verse 2. He said, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou. Now, interestingly, that word rule is this Hebrew word, radar. That word, have dominion, that we read about in Genesis 1:26 and 28, is that word rule. That word rule is radar. In other words, have dominion, dominate in the midst of your enemies. So according to the Abrahamic covenant, every seed of Abraham is a king ordained to rule and reign in the earth realm. Every seed of Abraham is a kingdom shining superstar with the power of influence, shining as light to light up their dark world, to influence their world for Christ through the gospel. Every seed of Abraham is ordained to possess the gate of their enemies. And here is the good news. The Abrahamic covenant has been fully and finally fulfilled in Christ. And Christ is in you. And you are in Christ. Number three. What is the third basis for our life of dominion? By redemption. Redemption. We are redeemed to dominate our world for Christ. By the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus, by the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, we are legally licensed to live a life of dominion. The redemptive sacrifice, the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ on our behalf has legally licensed us for a life of absolute dominion. Revelation 1 verse 5. Revelation 1 verse 5. Ketu barakatia brande gebosa. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Hallelujah. Do you know Jesus loves you? It was love that motivated him to sacrifice himself for our redemption and our salvation. He said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Then verse 6. And hath made us kings. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be what? Glory and dominion forever and ever. So Jesus, by his redemptive sacrifice, he has made us kings and he has made us priests. And as kings, we rule and reign in the earth realm. Revelation 5:10. It talks about the same thing. Glory to God. Revelation 5:10. It says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So we are reigning kings. I say we are reigning kings. We are not fearful slaves. We are not victims. We are what? Reigning kings. The church on earth, we are the light of the world. As light, we bring supernatural solution to the problems plaguing humanity. As the light of the world, we provide leadership and guidance. We lead, the world follows. I say we lead and the people of the world follows us. We are the salt of the earth. Salt talks about the power of influence, just like light. Salt also is a preservative. We are the preservative of the earth. It is because of us that Satan is being restricted. We are the restricting power of evil in this world. We are the restricting power of Satan in this world. Without us, Satan will have wreaked more havoc on earth. Am I communicating? That's why the church must first be raptured before the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be revealed. We are the one restraining him from being revealed. Praise God. Salt gives taste. Salt gives flavor. So we are the seasoning agent of this world. It's because of us that this world is sweet. Tell your neighbor, it's because of you that life is sweet. If you remove believers from this life, you remove the church, this life will not be sweet again. No? Just like salt gives taste to food. Have you ever eaten food without salt? Let me see your hand. You've eaten food, how does it taste? It's tasteless. It's not sweet. So without us, this world no sweet. Let me tell you, without our presence and our influence as a salt of the earth, this world will be tasteless. It will lose flavor. It will lose color. It will lose taste. We are not the needy ones. We are the needed ones. Because we are saviors from Zion. I say we are not the needy ones. We are the needed ones as solution providers. We are not survivors. We are saviors from Zion. We are not hopeless.
We are the bringers of hope. We are the hope of the world. Through the gospel, we give the world hope. Am I communicating? You know, I was just thinking, I said, imagine the number of lives that have been given hope through the gospel that we are preaching on Avalanche of Good News broadcast. Imagine those that have lost hope. If I imagine the number of lives that have been delivered from suicide, depression, and suicide through Avalanche of Good News broadcast. Several of them. We are the one bringing hope, giving people hope. Without us, without our presence, without the gospel, I'm telling you, this world is hopeless. Without us, the world is helpless. We are the one bringing help to this hurting and dying world through the life-saving gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Number what now? Four. The fourth basis of our life of dominion in Christ is our new birth. Our new birth. Our new birth. The new creation in Christ has the life and nature of God. And this life and nature of God empowers the believer for a life of all-round dominion. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, or see, all things have become new. So the new creature in Christ possesses the life of God, Zoe. He has the nature of God. And this life of God is a life of dominion. Eternal life, Zoe, is a life of dominion. Am I communicating? The nature of God, the divine nature that we've been made partakers of, is a nature of dominion. In 1 Peter 1:23, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In 1 John 5:11, he says, this is the record, God has given us eternal life, this life is in his Son. Whosoever has this Son has life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have this life. It's a life of dominion. So, we reign in life through Jesus Christ by his grace. Glory to God. Number five, the fifth basis of our life of dominion is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. The presence of the Holy Spirit with us. And the presence of the Holy Spirit upon us. I just mentioned three things. The presence of the Holy Spirit in us, that's his indwelling presence, his presence with us, abiding presence, and his presence upon us. The Holy Spirit empowers us for a life of total dominion. In 1 John 4:4, he says, ye are of God, you originate from God, you hail from God. It's talking of origin. Little children, and have overcome them. Who are the them? It's talking of the spirit of the Antichrist. It said, because greater is he that is in you. Who is the greater one in you? Who is the greater one in you? Can you see the basis for the overcoming life? Is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It said, you have overcome them. You have overcome those devils. You have overcome those Antichrist spirit. You have overcome the rebellious, contrary circumstances in this life. You have overcome the systems of this world. He said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So there is nothing to fear. The greater one lives in you. I said, there is nothing to fear. In Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. So the Holy Ghost brings into our life the power of God for living a life of dominion. You need power to live a life of dominion. The Holy Spirit is also the spirit of wisdom. It gives you the wisdom you need
to live a life of dominion. It was the wisdom of God that empowered Joseph to walk in dominion over the then world power called Egypt. It was the wisdom of God that empowered Daniel to walk in dominion when others were in captivity in the then world power called Babylon. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I receive the power of the Spirit and the wisdom of the Spirit to walk in total dominion. In Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, Isaiah 11 verse 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, this verse listed the seven spirits of God, beginning with the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. And this Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of lordship. It's actually the spirit of dominion. It's the spirit of lordship. One of the meaning of dominion, we say, is lordship. Am I communicating? He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's the Spirit of the Lord that often come upon prophets in the Old Testament, and then they are able to stand in their offices. It gives them boldness, audacity. They speak with so much authority, with so much boldness. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Am I communicating? It's the spirit of dominion. Now listen, you can walk in dominion through your comprehension. That's your understanding and application of the principles of the kingdoms. Okay? So, your understanding and application of the principles of the kingdom can empower you to walk in dominion. We call them laws of dominion. I think by next week we'll start exploring those kingdom principles, those laws of dominion. Am I communicating? Don't miss next week Sunday. Then you can also walk in dominion through the impartation of grace that comes from the spirit of dominion, which is the spirit of the Lord. Am I communicating? So on one end, you are empowered to walk in dominion through your comprehension and application of the principles of the kingdom. That's your obedience to the laws of dominion. Then on the other end, you are empowered to walk in dominion through the impartation of grace that comes from the Spirit of the Lord, who is the Spirit of dominion. Is it clear? I've said it before, that men are made through words, impartations, and encounters. What is the sixth basis for our life of dominion in Christ? Through the use of the name of Jesus, we walk in dominion and we live a life of dominion. The name of Jesus. Jesus has given us the power of attorney to use his name. Mark 16:17. So we must learn to use the name of Jesus with understanding, with revelation. We must understand the authority that is vested in that name. That in that name lies all authorities, all authority and power in the three realms. They are all in that name. Okay, the name of Jesus gives you authority over the three realms. That's authority in the heavenly realm, earth realm, and then kingdom of darkness under the earth, the underworld. You walk in dominion in that name. Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. In my name, or in my authority, they will dominate devils. They will speak with new tongues. Next verse. In my name. 18. Shabarando sovradia. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. The sick will recover. Hallelujah. In John 14:13, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said, ask anything in my name. So he gave us a blank check. John 14:13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, in my authority, I will do it. So we can actually walk in dominion using the name of Jesus. Using the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:9-11. Philippians 2:9-11. The name of Jesus contains and carries all authority in heaven, all authority in the earth, and all authority under the earth. That's the underworld. Under the earth talks of the kingdom of darkness. So it empowers you to live a life of dominion over demons and over demoniacal forces. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hey, the name of Jesus is a name above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth. So, the name of Jesus gives you the authority. It gives you the dominion. Okay? It empowers you to walk in dominion over these three realms. Heaven, earth, and then under the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 11. Say, every knee should bow. If I bow to you like this, what does it mean? I am surrendering to your authority. I'm acknowledging that you have a greater authority than me. Am I communicating? It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of acknowledgement of a greater authority. Glory to God. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. We admonish in Colossians 3:17 that whatever we do, we should all do in the name of Jesus. Everything we do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, we should eat in his name. We should sleep in his name. We should go to school in his name. Go to work in his name. Everything. Take your bath in his name. Eh? Everything. Do it in that name. So we are to live in his name. If we are to live in his name, that means we are to live in dominion. Because his name empowers us for dominion. Ephesians 1:21. Give me this in Amplified. Ephesians 1:21. Amplified. Hallelujah. So, I said the first basis of our life of dominion is a blessing of the Lord imparted upon mankind at creation. The second one is the Abrahamic covenant, which empowers every seed of Abraham to walk in dominion in all areas of life. The third basis, our redemption in Christ, empowers us for a life of dominion. The fourth one, our new birth. Every new creation has the life and nature of God, which empowers for a life of dominion. Number five, the fifth basis is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, with us, and upon us, empowers us for a life of dominion. We say the Spirit of the Lord, one of the seven spirits of God, is the spirit of dominion. Then the sixth and the final basis I'm giving you today is the name, the use of the name of Jesus. You can walk in dominion over sickness, disease, lack, poverty, demons, circumstances. Walk in all round dominion in that name. It's a far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this world age, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. Next verse 22. And he has put all things under his feet. God has put all things under Jesus' feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church. 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere with himself. Hallelujah. Now, go back to 21. Give me in Message translation. Message translation. Glory to God. Message. Are we there? 21 in Message translation. It says, Jesus is in charge of running the universe. Who is in charge of running the universe? Everything from galaxies to governments. Oh, I love this. So there is nothing to fear. Jesus is running everything. From galaxies to government, no name and no power exempt from his rule. Every demon has a name. Every problem has a name. Every sickness has a name. Every condition has a name. And the good news is that you have a name. We have been given a name which is above every other name. And in the name of Jesus, we walk in dominion over every other name. Hallelujah. Then 22. He is in charge of it all and has the final word on everything. Oh. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. Hallelujah. Then 23. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body. Can you see the definition of the church? The body of Christ, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Now give me that 21, New Living Translation. There's something I want to show you now. New Living Translation. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Jesus is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. 22. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things for that's what I want you to see, for the benefit of the church. Tell your neighbor, for your benefit. So everything Jesus accomplished and acquired and did was for your benefit, for the benefit of the church. I round up with this. Categories of dominion. Number one. Categories of dominion. Number one, dominion over nature. In Christ, we have been given dominion over nature. Nature, natural circumstances. Dominion over natural situation, natural conditions, weather, climate, events, dominion over the elements of this world. All these are under dominion over nature. Dominion over the elemental forces of the universe. In Genesis 1, 26 and 28, God mandated man when he released a blessing on him. He said, have dominion over the whole earth, everything that creepeth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the first category. In Psalms chapter 8 verse 6. Psalms 8 verse 6. The psalmist David speaking about our dominion mandate. He said concerning man, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. So we've been given dominion over the works of God's hands. Okay? All of nature, they are subject to us. So we are not victims of circumstances. We dominate them. We dominate situations. See, never come to a point that because of the situation, the circumstance you are going through, you are now feeling helpless, you are now feeling hopeless, you are now feeling like a victim. No! In Christ, you have dominion over circumstances. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You can dominate it. by the word of God in your heart and in your mouth, and through the power of the Spirit, by the wisdom of God, you can dominate every element of nature. Jesus dominated the storms of life, so he expects you to do the same. When Jesus was confronted by a storm in Matthew 8:23-26, the Bible says he arose and rebuked the winds and the wave. He said, "Peace be still." So Jesus dominated nature there. He dominated wind. He dominated waves. These are elements of nature, true of us. By speaking faith-filled words. And the people were so surprised, because the Bible said, they said that, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves, they obeyed him?" Jesus walked in dominion. Jesus walked on water in Matthew 14:22-33. Matthew 14:22-33. He walked on water. What was he demonstrating there? Dominion over nature, natural laws. Listen. It's good to apply natural laws, but you are not a slave to them. In Christ, you have dominion over natural laws. When Jesus walked on water, what happened? He dominated the law of gravity. He dominated Archimedes' principle. He dominated the law of flotation. Hallelujah. So that's the first category of our dominion. Dominion over nature. And dominion over nature also includes dominion over time. Have you heard people say, "Time is against me, time is not on my side"? No. Stop talking like that. Tell your neighbor, stop talking like that. Time is on your side. Because you have dominion over time. What is supernatural speed? When the anointing for supernatural speed comes, what does it do? It dominates time. It compresses time. So divine speed is an expression of God's dominion over time. Dominion over time. So time, say with me, time is not against me. Time can never be against me, because I have dominion over time in Christ. Number two, dominion over the devil and his demons. In Christ, we have dominion over the devil and demoniacal forces. Dominion over Satan and his kingdom of darkness. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Luke 9, 1. Then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority. He gave to his disciples power and authority over how many devils? How many devils? All. Somebody say all. What's the meaning of all? What's the meaning of all? Without exception. All means all. So in Christ, we've been given power and authority to walk in dominion over all devils. And to cure diseases. Hallelujah. So regardless of their hierarchy. Regardless of their hierarchy. Regardless of their ranking. Regardless of their position. Because some people have taught some funny things. They'll say, you see, for you to be able to handle some categories of demon, you need to ascend to some realms. Better read your Bible well. Jesus gave us authority over all. I don't care their rank. I don't care their position. All means all. Am I communicating? You better put your faith in this one, oh. Before you go and listen to one message that will now kill your faith. So demons will now start slapping you. It's not because you don't have authority over them. It's what you heard that killed your faith. Praise God. So you see, before you'll be able to handle those demons in the heavenlies. Those in cloud 999. You must have done 100 days fasting.
Okay, oh. We go believe you or we go believe Bible. Praise God. In Mark 16:17, Jesus says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, kick out devils, expel demons." For you to expel them, to cast them out, that means you have authority over them. If you don't have authority over them, if you don't have the dominion power, then you have no right to cast them out. Am I communicating? In James 4:7, it says, "Submit yourself to God and resist the devil." He will what? He will flee. A translation says, "As in terror." He will flee as in terror. You know the way cartoons they flee? Tom and Jerry. You've heard Tom and Jerry before. You know the way they run? You see, that is how Satan will flee, as in terror. Tell your neighbor, use your God-given authority in the name of Jesus to cast out devils. 1 Peter 5:8. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Then look at what you should do. What should be your response? Whom resist? Tell your neighbor, learn to resist Satan. How do you resist him? You use your God-given authority in the name of Jesus. Whom? So if Satan is running rampage around you, put him where he belongs. By resisting him, steadfast in the faith, not in fear. I say not in fear. You resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. My prayer is that may this revelation of your dominion over the devil and demons, may it down on you. Let it down on you. Let it sink. In Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power." Ah, yeah. That word power is actually authority. Give me NIV. "I give unto you power to tread on serpents," scorpions, these are demons, "and over all the power of the enemy." Because you see two power there. NIV makes it clearer. "I have given you authority." So you see the first meaning of power in King James Version. NIV says authority. Because the Greek word is exousia. Authority. To trample on snakes. The next time you see snake in your dream, did you see what I just said? Anywhere you see snake, whether in the realm of the... Okay, don't go and match snake in the physical. Leave it alone. It will leave you alone. But if you see snake in the realm of the spirit, what should you do? Trample. You've been given authority to trample on snakes. Stop running away from there. It's a snake, they pursue me. Remember this message in that dream. Remember, you remember, you turn. You start pursuing the snake and then trample. You've been authorized to do so. Trample on snakes and scorpions to overcome and to overcome all. Somebody say all. All the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Stop being afraid. Shake off every fear. Use your authority with boldness. In Colossians 2:15, the Bible says Jesus is spoiled. He has spoiled. He despoiled. He disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Satan has been completely, totally, eternally, and thoroughly defeated by Jesus. And the good news is that Jesus has given us his victory over Satan. So his victory is now your victory. Our fight of faith is to enforce that victory. Glory to God. In Psalm 66:3, he said, "The Lord said to..." Say unto God, "How terrible art thou,
in thy works. For through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies be what? Submit to thee. So you don't negotiate submission. You compel submission through superior power demonstration. I say you don't negotiate with demons. You don't negotiate with Satan. You don't negotiate, I beg, leave me alone now. Okay, moku negotiate. Demons don't understand the language of negotiation. Only dominion. And dominion requires power. He says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. Glory to God. The third category of our dominion is dominion over diseases and sicknesses. Dominion over diseases, sicknesses, infirmities, illnesses. And you see, a lot of demons are responsible for these diseases. And the good news is that we have dominion over them. In Luke chapter 9 verse 1, we read earlier, Jesus called his disciples. He gave them authority and power over all demons to cast them out and to cure diseases. Look at that ending part. To cure diseases. Give me Matthew 10:1. Matthew 10:1. Dominion over diseases. You have dominion, power in Christ to handle every disease. He said, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against. He gave them power against unclean spirits. You see, these unclean spirits are the ones responsible for sicknesses. They are responsible for sicknesses, diseases. The Bible calls them unclean spirits. To cast them out. So anywhere you see unclean spirits, what should you do? Cast them out. You've been given dominion over diseases and sicknesses. Don't pamper them. Anywhere I see sickness or pain in my body, I curse it. I use my God-given authority in the name of Jesus to deal with it ruthlessly. I don't pamper them, because sickness is incipient death. They are on a mission to kill you. So you have to kill it. Tell your neighbor, kill it before it kills you. Kill that sickness. Kill that diagnosis. Kill that pain. Don't pamper it. Exercise your authority in the name of Jesus over that tumor, over that growth. It says, and to heal all manner. Tell your neighbor, all manner. Does this include HIV? Does this include cancer? Does this include Hodgkin's lymphoma? Does it include SLE? Some of you are saying, yes, sir. Do you know the meaning of SLE? Heal all manner of sickness. Imagine and reimagine diseases. It doesn't matter what they name it. Is it all manner? Dengue fever, Lassa fever, Ebola go boil. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Can you shout amen? And then in Mark 16:18, it says, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Glory to God. So we can minister healing in his name, because we have dominion over diseases and sicknesses. Number four, the fourth category of dominion. I like this one. Oh, dominion over lack, scarcity and poverty. Put in bracket, financial dominion. Luke 22:35. In Christ, we have dominion over lack. In Christ, we have dominion over scarcity. In Christ, we have dominion over poverty. Hallelujah. In Christ, we have what we call financial dominion. You see this money, you have dominion over it. Stop behaving as if you are a slave to money. Money is just figures now. just paper backed up by authority of the federal government of that country. What if they bring a law tomorrow that 1,000 naira note is no longer useful? It's null and void. So what will be the value? No more value. Don't be intimidated by figures. I say don't be intimidated by figures. Somebody here, I just heard in my spirit that it's time for you to get a new accommodation. Live where you are, babe. Live where you are. Get a better accommodation. And don't be intimidated by the rent. Rent is figure. It's a number. Don't be intimidated. I say don't be intimidated by numbers. Get used to it. Eh? Do you know to an average billionaire, 1 million is like 10 naira to them. See, okay. How do you see 10 naira? Sometimes if keke na pep man or bike man is wasting time, is there no change and it's 10 naira, you can even dash him, right? Now, the way you see 10 naira, that is how a billionaire sees 1 million. No, you didn't hear me. I said the way you see 10 naira, that is how a multi-billionaire sees 1 million. Don't be intimidated by figures. Start that business. Go and look for a shop. Don't be afraid of the figure. Look for a good location, a choice location. Start that building project. Get that land. Don't be intimidated by numbers. Say, you know, this place, it has the most expensive real estate. And so what? Some of you go to buy a clothes. You are even afraid to look at the one that are in the show glass. It's only Ben Dance, browsing market. The one you browse to the right, Kataku market, browse to the left. When will you leave that realm? Surprise the devil one day now. Even if you don't have the money on you, on your account, no problem. Go price the cloth as if you want to buy it now. Enter car garage. Surprise the devil. Price car as if you want to pay right now. With confidence. Ayagabalatai. Tell your neighbor, receive boldness to do big things. Jesus said, when I sent you without purse or script or shoes, lack ye anything? How did they reply? They said what? Nothing. In other words, they lacked nothing. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I lack nothing. Deuteronomy 2:7. The Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord thy God had been with thee, and look at that last part. Thou hast lacked nothing. Thou hast lacked nothing. God led them through the wilderness for 40 years, yet they lacked nothing because he was their shepherd. Psalm 23:1, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A translation said, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't what? I don't lack anything. I don't lack anything because the Lord is my shepherd. He is my breadwinner. He is my provider. He is the one feeding me. He is the one taking care of me. Kota barakatia. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Deuteronomy 8:18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee what? Power to get wealth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number what now? Fifth category, dominion over sin. Romans 6 verse 9, dominion over sin. Another category of dominion is dominion over sin. Hallelujah. Now, in Christ, you must understand that you have dominion over sin. If you are battling any form of lust, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, all manner, sinful addiction, you are struggling, stop struggling. Understand, let this revelation, see, take time and study the book of Romans, especially the first 8 chapters. Look for a simple translation, study it prayerfully and meditate on it. Let the reality, the revelation of your dominion over sin, let it down on you. I'm telling you, every chain of sinful addiction, it will break off through the power of light. You just need to come to the revelation knowledge of the truth. In Christ, we've been given dominion over sin. You see, the new creature does not have the nature of sin. So you are not a slave to sin. Let that truth down on you. Renew your mind using the word of God unto this truth. Romans 6 verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Next verse. He said, likewise, reckon, consider yourself. He says, reckon or consider yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am dead to sin, but I'm alive unto God. Say it again. I am dead to sin, I'm alive unto God. Say for the third time, I'm dead to sin and I'm alive unto God. Let this truth sink. Every sinful addiction, lost, it will die. The power, their influence over your life will be broken. Jump to verse 14. Verse 14. Oh, Rabasa. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Again, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. It says you are under a new government. It's the government of grace. And in this new government of grace, sin does not have dominion over you. Rather, you have dominion over sin. Can you shout amen? Amen. Christ is your righteousness. Christ has been made unto you righteousness. In fact, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And the nature of righteousness is the power to say no to sin. That nature of righteousness you were born with the day you got born again, it empowers you to live above sin. It is the power for right living. Then the last category, dominion over fear and death. Dominion over what? Fear and death. In Christ, we have dominion over fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So be fearless. Refuse to fear. I say refuse to fear. Don't be a victim of the spirit of fear. He said, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we have dominion over fear and death. Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same, that through death, through his death on the cross, he might destroy he, Satan, that had the power of death, which is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Hallelujah. Keloboko sabalatia. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself, likewise, that's Jesus, took part of the same, that through death that's his death on the cross, it might destroy him, that's Satan, that had in past tense. Is it past tense or past participle? That had, in other words, he no longer has it now. Satan had, he no longer has the power of death, so he cannot kill you. I say Satan cannot kill you. He can only deceive you until you kill yourself. He can't kill you. He doesn't have that power or authority. That had the power of death, that is the devil. 15. And deliver them who through the fear of death, everyone being tormented and haunted by the fear of death, I command that spirit of fear to be broken over your life. I command the fear of death to die. And I rebuke every spirit of fear. He said, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear brings people into bondage and captivity. The spirit of fear is a spirit of bondage, is a spirit of slavery, is a spirit of captivity. But the Bible says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty from every spirit of fear. The fear of failure is broken. The fear of diseases, sickness is broken. The fear of lack is broken. The fear of poverty and scarcity is broken. The fear of success is broken. The fear of the future is broken. The fear of uncertainty is broken. The fear of death is broken. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty for you. In the name of Jesus, rise to your feet. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, he said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Malatuse belemena. He said, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Victory over death. Victory over the grave. Victory over sin. Victory. Kapatiza balatai. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to enforce your victory. Victory over the spirit of death. Victory over the grave. Victory. Palataza. Over sin. Victory. Manda balatuza. Eko brokotoska. Victory over every form of fear. Right now, I want to give opportunity to someone under the sound of my voice. If you know you are in this place and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want a relationship with God, you are tired of a life of struggling with sin, you know that you need a new relationship with Jesus, you need to surrender your life to Him, you need to be born again, you want to become a child of God, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are, whether in this hall or following online, just lift up your right hand. And if you are lifting up your right hand, I want you to take another step of faith. Come and meet me in front. I will be so glad to welcome you to the house, to the family of God. This is the best and most important decision you can ever make. Oh yes, I want you to carry your Bible, your journal, your bag, whatever you came here with. Come and meet me in front. You want to a new beginning in this month of August, the month of new beginning. You want a new beginning with Jesus. I want you to come and meet me in front. It will say this prayer after me. Believe it, every part of it. Believe it with all your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. And on the third day, you were raised from the dead for my justification. I confess with my mouth that from this day henceforth, you are my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, if you said that.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.